say. All right, here we go. Come on, say it with me. Huddle up. Come on. Huddle up. If you're first time with us, we like to talk back with me. Help me go do this. Okay, here we go. Huddle up. So, here we go. And a lot of football, you know, analogy in this little series. And because Jesus kept huddling with his disciples. Let's roll, Raj. Today's the huddle of filling. Say that with me. The huddle of filling. Everything's had an F. Fear, floundering, following, filling. And Jesus is getting them somewhere. That's the plan. He's been working with them. Jesus met with his disciples, you should know this now, at least how many times? Four times after his resurrection. Probably many more times than that, but at least four times that we know of. And the huddle of fear. We saw that. We're not going to re-preach the message. But he met with the disciples two times. Once, disciples all present. Thomas wasn't, so Thomas didn't believe. They still weren't where they needed to be. So he met with them again. Thomas was there. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still what? Believe. Amen. So the huddle of fear. These guys were scared to death. Obviously, you know, Jerusalem was a hotbed of hate for Jesus Christ, for his followers, for his message. And obviously, the leader now is... has been murdered, executed. So why not the ones that were in leadership behind him, the ones that follow and the disciples? So they were scared to death. And so instead of staying there in the Jerusalem area, they fled for home, which is back in Galilee. And so there they are. They're back up at the Sea of Galilee. And they're moving. He wants them to move, man. Do something. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Spread the gospel in all the world. And they went the wrong way. Okay, you ever done that? Say, wrong way. That's what happens with me with little Danny now. I'm driving around town, and I'll just go a different way home. There's more than one way to get home. But if it's not the way Danny knows, Danny goes, Dad, you went the wrong way. Yesterday, we're on a hike through the woods along the beach up in Middle Beach. I encourage you to do that when you go to the beach at Middle Beach. Also, there's some beautiful trails that you can take, and then it turns into paths and what have you. It's craziness, okay? So we did that yesterday, and I said, how many want to just go ahead and get out right now? Danny said, I do. I said, no, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going further. And so anyway, a little bit further up, a spider web gets all over my face. She says, I told you, you went the wrong way. You ever just want to pop a four-year-old? Yeah. So the disciples went the wrong way. They're back in Galilee fishing for fish. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of who? So they fished all night and caught what? Floundering. Caught nothing. Jesus said, throw the net on the right side. They caught 153 fish. 153. Wow. And Jesus dealt with them. Dealt with Peter. But he dealt with all of them on their failure and let them see, guys, I know you failed me, but you love me. You can still do this. And so that was the message. Now, then last week, the huddle of following. They're back near Jerusalem. We're getting close. They're up on the Mount of Olives. It was one of Jesus' favorite places to go. Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived up there in a little town called Bethany, outside of, on the top of the Mount of Olives. And so they're there. And Jesus meets with them. And they have questions. Are you going to restore your kingdom now? Is it time? And Jesus said, quit worrying about times and seasons. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you guys. And you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, which is right over there. And Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Quit worrying about what I'm doing and worrying about what God's doing. Worry about what you're supposed to be doing. Amen? So, and then immediately, boom, Jesus ascends to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And the guys are going, oh my gosh, they're looking, oh man. How many thinks they said, come back. Don't leave us here. Sure they did. They must have. And two men stood in white apparel saying, why are you men of Galilee stand here gazing? The same Jesus which went away, you saw him go away, he'll come again in like manner. But it was their turn now to serve. You all right with me so far? You with me? Come on. So we're learning. Just a little review. So Jesus broke from the huddle. He broke from the huddle. There they were, alone. Now, they had each other, but that's it. No Jesus. And what'd they do? Well, listen, well, look at that. There you go. They returned where they're supposed to. Where? To where? Which is the, and that's the hotbed of hate for them. That's also, it's the religious center of the world, still is today. They returned to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they got into an upper room. And they continued. And that's part of following, is returning and then continuing. And they did it in unity. No more fighting. They weren't fussing anymore. They needed each other. And there they were, huddled together. With prayer, and in that word supplication, ups it an ante, man. That's a word that means they were begging. They were begging God to take care of them and to help them. And they also, they continued with women. Is that what it said last week? And remember, Jesus' mother was there, remember? Yes or no? In that room. Yeah. And his family. Jesus had family members. They were there in that room. And so they're all huddled together. About 120 of them. Say 120. About 120 of them. Ooh, wow. Also, inside that room, among themselves, Peter dealt with some mess. And I scared some of you last week with this word. I won't say it again, what I said last week. But they rectified a bad what? A situation. They dealt with the Judas situation. It was a horrible mess. One of them had betrayed him. And he betrayed them as well. And there was a hole in the line. And they could not move forward and do what God had called them to do, to be the witness they needed to be, without filling that hole in that line. And so they chose Matthias. Matthias to be the 12. So the 11 now is back up to what? They're back up to 12, okay? The team is ready. Got it? Say, we need each other. That's what this is teaching us. We need each other. There's a hole in the line that needs to be filled, man. And that's what they did. They dealt with some mess. Now, let's move today with this message. I know I took you down a little learning journey trail, but that's okay. It's good for our minds. We need to learn the Scriptures. Here we go. And when the day of Pentecost, say that with me, Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in, very important, say that with me, one accord, and they were in one what? Very important. You know, guys, this ain't Hawaii, okay? This is not a vacation these guys are on. Outside of those doors, down those corridors in that city of Jerusalem were people that wanted to kill them, that wanted to butcher them. Matter of fact, most all of them were murdered later. What they thought would happen. But they pressed on anyway, and the gospel got spread around the world. Amen? But it had to start right there. They were in one accord in one place. Keep looking. They were huddled together on Pentecost. I want you to just understand what Pentecost is a little bit better. What is Pentecost? Pentecost is 50 days after what? Remember the Old Testament? The Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. Remember Pharaoh and the plagues and Moses, let my people go. Remember all that? And finally, the death angel was coming. And only those that had the what on the doorpost? The blood of the Lamb on the doorpost would be spared. And that's exactly what happened back in the day. And so from that point on, Passover became a most memorable occasion and a time to worship and celebrate God and His victory. And so that's what Pentecost was. It was 50 days after Passover. Pentecost was 50 days after Jesus what? Because Jesus was crucified on Passover. What did John say when he saw Him coming? John the Baptist said, behold the who? Lamb of God who takes away the what? So, Jesus, on Passover, the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. You see how the Bible works together? So I don't believe that Bible stuff. You ought to try to work this all out. You ought to try to get somebody to crucify the leader right on time. Well, God was all part of that, making that happen. You understand or not? Say. Sure. So Pentecost is a celebration. It's 50 days after Passover, of course, when Jesus was crucified. But now it's just literally 50 days. It's just 50 days since all this shook down. 50 days, okay? And now Jesus had gone away. Now when? He was with them how many days? 40 days. So it sounds like to me, if I do my math right, those guys were by themselves for maybe about 10 days or so. I'm not going to argue the point, but the point is that one day is plenty enough to get scared and leave, ain't it? Say, amen? Can you imagine that? Jesus is gone. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit's coming. When? Can you imagine every day getting up checking your clock? Say, what is happening? It's a good thing they were in prayer, right? It's a good thing they were in unity, right? Say, maybe it's a good thing Jesus' mama was there, right? Say, you hear me? Yes or no? Can you imagine her saying, look, if my son said it, it's going to happen. Say, amen. Say, I'd be like, mama, come talk to me. All right? So, they're in one accord in one place. Let's keep moving. Now it's going to move quicker in case you're like, oh my gosh, the guy's killing me. Here we go. So, they are together and they're not what? That's a big deal. These 12 are together and they're not scattered. You know? I'm going to tell you something. Certainly not comparing us to the disciples, even though they were screw-ups and so are we, okay? But that's one thing I love about our church is we're together and we're not scattered. I am not a pastor who has to deal with a lot of mess with people fussing and fighting and bickering at our church. Do you understand that, yes or no? And I give God all the credit for that. It's a beautiful thing to come on Sunday morning and see smiling faces and see people showing up at their posts and where they're working. It doesn't mean they ain't had a hard week. It doesn't mean they don't have problems in their life. But you know what? They got that focus on. And it's for the glory of the Lord. Amen? And we're serving in unity. That is a blessing. Amen? Can we praise Him for that again? Come on, that's huge, guys. Woo! Amen! So, there they are. Unity, one accord, one place. We're keeping the message moving. The huddle of filling. Say that with me. Game. Oh, come on. You're going to lose. One more time. Game. And can you do it one more time just because I want to aggravate you? One more time. You ever felt like that in your life? You ever had a situation, a position you've been in your life, and it finally you got your focus? Say, you finally got your focus, and it's game on now. How's that feel? If you do get beat upside the head, you went into it with all you had. Amen? Game on. Game on. These guys are determined. Boy, these ain't the same fellas, are they? Not long ago, they're back there fishing. What's up? Come on. So, let's look at what happened in Acts 2. Today's message is called The Huddle of Filling. Number one, and I'd like you to just say it with me. They are filled up with the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus said. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll send the Comforter. The one that's going to come alongside, the Paraclete. So I'm sending to you. So they're filled up with the Holy Spirit, just the Bible. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the what? The house. It's a good thing they listened to Jesus. Yeah, but Mama's in Galilee and I want to go back fishing. Let me tell you something. You need to be in Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit came and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat on each one of them.
This is just odd.
That's all we can say. This is just strange. The Spirit of the living God sat on each one of these. And the Bible says they were what? All filled with the Holy Ghost. Now hang in here with me, because this is where craziness has started in the last 100 years in the church. This passage of Scripture right here has opened the door for everything that you can imagine. You listening or not? So if you want to learn, you can hang in here with me. And how about we stay with the Bible? Amen? Say. And know what so-and-so said somewhere on TV. I don't give a hoot. You listening? This is what I care about. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other what? With other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? So, the first thing we see is they were all filled up with the what? Now, they began to speak with other tongues. Now, guys, you got to get this, understand this. I don't want to be ugly, but it's going to come across that way. And I'm not trying to make enemies up here. Listen, let me give you an example. Just because somebody says global warming, Al Gore says global warming is destroying the planet. Did you know Gary don't have to believe Al if he don't want to? You understand that, yes or no? I can still look at weather patterns over centuries. Did you know that? Say. Okay. You understand? But nowadays, if you don't believe in global warming, well, you're a freak. Of course it's true. Why? Why is it true? Well, because science says so. No, Al says so. And there's science on the other side that says it ain't so. Did you understand that or not? Look at this. Oh, I'm going to give you another example real quick. We're going somewhere. Hang in here with me. I believe in a young earth. You know why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe in billions of years. Pastor, you're a lunatic. Well, I have the right to be a lunatic, don't I say? Why have I got to change my view just because of the last 200 years some guy came, Darwin came along, and now we're all from nothing and it's billions of years old? When the evidence and the archaeological finds don't bear out those facts whatsoever. And they find some alligator this past week up in Carolina, and I guess he's the oldest ever, 240 billion years old. Whatever. But the point is, because I'm a creationist, because I believe in creation, and God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, which quite frankly has never yet been disputed, I'm an idiot, you see. And I don't mean to be ugly, but stay here with me. The same kind of thing has happened in the church. If for some reason, listen to me, if for some reason you believe tongues is what tongues is in the Bible, that these fellows started speaking in other languages. Are y'all listening or not? These guys are from Galilee. They couldn't even speak good Hebrew. They're fishermen, man. All of a sudden, they're speaking in a dialect that the Greeks can understand. They're speaking in another dialect that someone else can understand. That's a miracle from God. Amen? Say. That's what the word means. But somehow, that has turned into a bunch of gibberish. Excuse me. Whatever. And that's what happened there because somebody said it was. Well, did you know I have the right to disagree? Say. Just because hook, line, and sinker's gone down that path for the last, it ain't been the last 100 years, but that's about when it all started. Whether you know that or not. But now hook, line, and sinker, churches all across America does that, and that's evidence of the Holy Spirit. Because you say so? Here's some good evidence of the Holy Spirit. If Gary Clark ever gets up here speaking Italian, you don't know. You don't know. There's some Italians that have moved to Inglewood. And they need it. Amen. Are you listening or not? I know I'm a lunatic and probably made some of you mad. I'm not trying to make you mad. But guys, since when do we have to not think? Can't we still think? Can't we still compare Scripture with Scripture? Say, well, this is what it's teaching. They were all filled up with the Holy Ghost. Now, what was the purpose? We only have 10 minutes left. What was the purpose of the disciples? And you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part. Was that the reason for the filling? That's exactly the reason for the filling. That they can be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Keep looking. So number two, they're filled up with the Holy Spirit. And I can only imagine inside that room, as they're speaking in various languages, they're certainly confounded. And it's certainly odd. It's like unbelievable. Well, then there's another thing they did. They speak up. Say that with me. They what? They speak up by the Holy Spirit. So they're filled up with the Holy Spirit, and now they speak up by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? They took it out of the room into the street. Keep watching. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem who? Devout men. Now, this is very important. Passover had happened 50 days after Pentecost. Big Jewish celebrations. So there were Jews and devout men, very learned men, out of what? Out of what? Every what? Well, wait a minute. The gospel is going to go all the world, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And don't leave Jerusalem because guess what? Right there, everybody from all over the world is gathered. The only problem is they need to learn how to speak some other languages pretty quick. Did you hear me or not? And they're going to need God to help them do this. And they had this ability because of the Holy Spirit. And it was noised abroad. It was noised abroad. Look at now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because they heard, say it with me, every man heard them speak in his own what? That's the Bible. Now, whether that rubs you wrong or your doctrine from wherever you come from, that's really not my problem. I don't mean to be unkind, but I would always pull you back to the Bible. But I like that fella. I probably like him too. Scott, I like this a whole lot more. And they were all what? Amazed, saying one to another, behold, aren't all these men who are speaking who? Dumb old hillbillies from up yonder around the lake. They are, man. And we're devout, and we speak all these different languages, and we're from all over the world. And we're hearing them speak in our own tongue? How are we hearing every man in our own what? Wherein we were what? How's this happening, man? Don't you think that'd shake up the crowd? It's pretty crazy, ain't it? So, they took it from in the room, and they spoke up, and they took it to the street. I got one more thing I want to say about tongues. I know you'll probably say, Clark, you're just ugly today. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be helpful. Here's the other thing. A lot of times, almost all the time, modern-day tongues that are spoke, it happens inside the church. Why not take it to the street? Why not take it outside to the street? You know why? Because they're going to say you're a lunatic. Because they're not going to understand a dime's worth of nothing of what you just said. Did you hear me or not? I know that's ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. They took it to the street. They took it outside. Guys, if something is a gift of the Holy Spirit, it ought to be understood also by regular folk. Since when did regular folk become idiots? Regular folk ain't it? Yeah, but they're not very spiritual. Let me tell you something right now. You can take a guy like me or my mama that never grew up in the church, and we could grow up with you in town your whole life, and all of a sudden, and we know you ain't got but an eighth grade education, and all of a sudden, you are speaking French fluently. We're going to say, something happened to old Albert. And And you're probably going to get our attention. Yes or no? You just think with me. It's all I'm asking. Number three, they stand up and what? So they are filled up and they speak up and now they what? Stand up and they do what? Witness. Oh, yeah, for Christ. Isn't that what it's all about? Somehow tongues has been made as evidence that many churches will teach that you're not truly saved unless you experience tongues and the gift of the Spirit. And they can tell you, and they'll even teach you how to do it. And if I had hands go up, many of you would raise your hands down. We're not going to do that this morning. I didn't see a teacher come into this room. Here's how you do it. Say this with me. Hello, yes or no? Y'all listening or not? So they take it outside, and they speak up, and now they're standing up. And they were all amazed, and some were in doubt. Sure they are, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, they're drunk. Now that fly, they were just speaking a bunch of gibberish. I'd agree with them. But if they're speaking something that is understandable in different dialects and languages, then that dog ain't going to hunt that last one. So somebody go, no, they're not. I understand clearly what he's saying, sir. I disagree with you. You hear me or not? I know I'm crazy this morning. But Peter, now watch it. Don't just think Peter stood up. Notice that next part. Standing up with the who? With the 11. Don't think they weren't standing up, and don't think they weren't talking. And don't think they weren't explaining. And don't think this happened in 10 minutes. They're there. They're with the folks. They're out there. Peter's talking. Groups can't understand. And yet, there's groups, there's people inside there that are part of the 11 that can help them understand. And then there's questions. And those disciples can speak to them. Now, guys, this is Gary talking, but I'm trying to make sense of just the Bible this morning. He's standing up, lifted up his voice, said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. And I'm just going to keep reading. Hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour today. It ain't even 9 o'clock yet in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And from that has become a lot of kooky stuff on the planet. And on my servant and on my handmaids I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall speak of me. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And guys, we ain't seen all that's coming. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day that the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass, say that with me, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, we ought to praise the Lord. Come on, we ought to praise the Lord. Come on. Yeah. They're being witnesses. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, and you yourselves also know it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken, and by wicked hands you've crucified Jesus and you've killed him. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. I love that. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And Peter's speaking, and they're helping somehow get this message out. I believe that totally. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. That was like cussing at him. His sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up who? Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not going to be left in hell, neither would his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up. Say it with me. Whereof we're all what? Can we say that louder? We're all what? Wasn't that what Jesus was wanting them to be? They're there. There they are. Wow. Into the face of that mob. They're all speaking this. It's incredible. So that's what happened. They stood up and we're out of time. Here's the last point. And we're done. They fish up. They fish up. And they caught over how many people? 3,000 for the glory of God. Now remember, trained fishermen doing it their way went back to their old way and couldn't catch nothing all night. Just one word from Jesus, they caught 153, remember? He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. One touch, one touch, one touch from the Holy Spirit of the living God. And they're fishing up, man. 3,000 on their first catch. You know how many 3,000 is? It's 20 times, it's almost 20 times 153. Yes or no? Didn't Jesus say, you're going to do greater things than I ever did? Did he say that? He did say that. This was just one example. Isn't this incredible? Guys, we don't have to make this more than it is. This is plenty in itself. So they fish up and catch over 3,000 people. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and they said unto Peter and to the what? There they are. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of who? Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? For the promise is unto you. Now remember, who is the Holy Spirit? God. And He's called the Comforter. How many have ever received real comfort from God? Can I see your hand? Since when do we minimize the Comforter, the comfort of God, and got to replace it with something that's gibberish? Are y'all listening or not? I don't know about you. I don't mean to be ugly, but honest to God, honest. Oh, I want His presence and I want His comfort in my life. I need Him desperately. How do you know, Clark, you have the Holy Spirit? Because the change He's made in my life. Man, you talk about somebody that was lost. That was Gary. And you talk about somebody that's found. Well, that was Gary. Amen? And me speaking before you folks, are you kidding me being able to talk like this? This wasn't me. This wasn't even anything in my plans or my dreams. Nothing. God's working in me. Amen? And who is that? The Holy Spirit. Without Him, I can do what? Nothing, guys. I don't have to make up stuff. Excuse me. I know that's hard preaching. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall what? Call. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received His word. Quit trying to beat your kid into getting saved. Shoving it down their throat. I think people ought to gladly receive Christ. I know the Bible says some are saved so as by fire. I understand that. But I still think people ought to gladly receive Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? If the Holy Spirit's calling and drawing, I believe you will. Then they that gladly received His word were what? Baptized. Followed the Lord. The same day they were added unto the church. How many? 3,000. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. Amen? Was it all on the screen? It was all on the screen. Amen? Saw it documented today. Fill up, speak up, stand up, and what? Fish up. And He's called us to go do the same thing, to be witnesses. Amen? Let's praise Him for His word this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Good to us. Amen.